We welcome you to another edition of Being Well Informed. And this wonderful afternoon, we are delighted to have with us Alice Wisler, author. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Well Informed.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, you are a very, very busy, as I understand it, author. And our topic on today's edition of Being Well Informed really is about a personal experience that you had. And the topic has to do with losing a child as a parent. Parents surviving that experience, and what are the best solutions to just navigating day to day. Tell us about yourself, Alice.
Well, I'm a mom and a wife, and I have four kids. Daniel was one of them. And in 1997, he died after cancer-related treatment. I live in North Carolina, so he was at UNC hospitals where he was well taken care of, but they were unable to keep him alive. So after that, my life really went into a horrendous, horrible tailspin, as it is with any bereaved mom. And I wondered what I was going to do to survive. Every day was just really difficult. I was also at the time 6 months pregnant with my youngest, my fourth child. So grieving and being pregnant at the same time was a bit difficult, along with everything else.
We are so glad that you took the time to share this very personal experience. And how long ago did your son pass?
Daniel was three when he was diagnosed, and he died in 1997, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day.
Okay. And so that situation that happened in 1997, it still impacts you today?
It's been 25 years, and Daniel was born 30 years ago. So it's a long journey from the last time I saw him when he was four to he would be 30 now if he was alive. The grief lessons, I think most bereaved moms and dads would tell you that. Time is sort of healing and has a healing component to it. But you don't ever, of course, forget, and you never get back to your old way of life. I think a lot of people think, oh, after time, you'll be all right. But that's still a person missing at the family table, still a person that is not with you, and you don't get to celebrate his birthday with him. So it goes on and on and on. There's so many different components to it. And I really, what I want to do is like teach the world to realize that grief is not just like a moment or a year. You don't get over it, especially not when you're losing it, have lost a child. It stays with you forever. You deal with it better. You couldn't really live with the emotional and physical of just drain that happens when you first lose a child. You couldn't live that way for the rest of your life. So in that sense, you learn how to cope, how to adapt, and you're able to live with the pain.
Living with the pain seems like it may very well be traumatic. And for your family, how has this impacted your family?
Well, my kids, I have Rachel, who was six when Daniel died, and then, of course, one on the way, and then a baby. So the baby really doesn't remember. But when we were all younger, we would go to the grave, and it was when I think my kids were all about teenagers, when one of the kids, who had been a baby when Daniel died, as we entered the cemetery, he said, oh, it's called Markham Memorial Gardens. I thought it was called Daniel's Place. Because we always called it Daniel's Place. We'd say, let's go to Daniel's Place. We would lift memorial balloons. Sometimes we had watermelon that he loved, cake for his birthday. And it was, we played softball there. It was just got to be a family place. And I liked being there, although at first I hated it, of course, hated that my child had died. But it was a family place. It kind of incorporated that into the rest of our life. And it's now a place I often go. It's very serene, and I write there and enjoy just nature and celebrate Daniel's life.
How does anyone handle grief when losing a son or a daughter?
I think people handle it in many different ways. Some helpful things that people can do is have memorials in the child's memory, whether it be a scholarship fund, or we have a cancer, childhood cancer fund in Daniel's memory. More personal memorials that you can do, collecting items that your child enjoyed. You can also reach out and maybe be part of a charity or a group to help others that are less fortunate. Sometimes people like to light candles on important days like birthdays or Christmas or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's writing, which I love. That has just really been a balm of healing for me. And that's what I am, a writing through grief advocate.
Okay. So how did this start? Did you start shortly after his death, or you had to wait several years, or what?
Well, journaling, I had a journal. We were supposed to go to Japan as a family to visit my missionary parents, but the trip got canceled. So the journal that I had bought, it's called Picnic Plaid. I don't know if you've ever had a journal that when you picked it up at the store, it had a name on it, but that's what it was called. And I thought, oh, this will be a fun way to record my children's reactions to a country where I grew up. And instead, it became a hospital journal where I would write while Daniel was going through treatments in the hospital. After that, one of the nurses gave me a journal when Daniel was dying, and we knew that there was no hope. And I wrote in that, and then I finished that one, and I just got more and more journals, notebooks, and wrote and wrote, and that was so helpful to me.
So was the journal eventually published or something else?
Oh, thankfully, no. It would have been terrible if the journal had been published. I tried, though, early on, even though I was just so agonizing in grief and things that were used to be simple were difficult. Writing was like this sail that propelled me, or a motor that propelled me. And I just wanted to write. I couldn't not write enough. So I was submitting things left and right to publishers, to magazine editors. And a lot of it, like the journal, should have never seen the light of day. That was really for me. I needed to tailor my writing to make it more universal. Grief is universal, but also the individual person that you've lost, that relationship, of course, is very unique. So I had to do a lot of editing my work to get it so it could be read and be meaningful for other parents.
And the name of the book that you eventually published is what?
Well, first I started out with memorial cookbooks. I ask other parents in my grief support group to please send me special recipes and memories from their children who had died. And those are independently published. And then I published novels with traditional publishers, have 6 novels, and then a devotional called Getting Out of Bed in the Morning, Reflections of Comfort and Heartache. And that was also published by a traditional publisher. So in each of my novels, even though they're supposed to be light and fun, but in each of them, someone has lost someone dear to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, they are available at your website, Alice, is it Whistler, WISLER.com?
Right.
ALICEWISLER.com. At that website, you have, I guess, full access to the journal, well, not the journals, but I guess the work that you've authored.
Yes, it's all available there. Also, I have Writing the Heartache workshops, online workshops, and they're available there on my website as well.
Writing the Heartache Workshop. What is that about?
Well, it's a 5-week course, and I send out the lessons every Monday, and the participants are supposed to send me their assignments by Friday. And this is all confidential. I don't share anything that anyone has sent to me unless they want it shared with the rest of the group. And I also offer these workshops periodically throughout the year. And it's just time for parents to be able to use the tool of writing for healing, health, and hope. And all different losses, I mean, from all different ways parents have lost a child, from suicide to car accidents to illnesses. And as they write and work on the assignments, that helps them, I think, come to, not so much come to terms, but just come to an understanding of their grief, to be able to put it onto paper, unleashes it from the heaviness that it causes in your heart, and just allows the paper to hold all the pain so that you feel like you're sharing it with your notebook.
Good. It sounds like that's healing for you.
It's healing for me when I see that other people are empowered by writing. When I'm at workshops where there's actual physical participants and somebody stands up to read a poem or a short essay, mm-hmm. that means so much to me because I see the transforming power of writing, just that action of writing things down does right. so much for each parent.
So it's the actual writing down that is significant for the person that's grieving?
Yes, yes, being able to write it. Now, some people might want to use a computer and some people might want to use their phone, you know, a document on their phone, and that's fine. I like pen and paper. And then after that, I will transcribe it into a file. But I think that just the action of writing things out, releasing them, really is healing.
Because you have other children, does that lessen the grief?
That's a good question. My kids are all adults now and moved out of the house. Yay! And they're doing well. When Daniel was first, when he had first died, lessening the grief, I think I would have to say I was very glad to have other children, even the one that was pushing against my broken heart as I was, you know, she was growing inside me and getting ready to be born. I have to say that, yes, I was very grateful to have other children. There are many friends I have who lost their only child. And so with that comes a loss of, you know, the hope of possibly future grandchildren or the hope of seeing a child graduate or go to college or move out of the house. But I have been able to experience being a mom to my 3 living kids. Of course, no one will take Daniel's place. He okay. had a rare and unique sense of humor. And when he died, that humor was gone. And I just noticed it just very specifically in him, unique style of telling jokes, of laughing, of making us laugh. And that ended after he died. We still laugh, but it's not the same. It's not his humor. And just like snowflakes, you know, and fingerprints, everybody's unique. No one can replace anyone else.
Did you author these novels before or after Daniel's death?
It was after Daniel's death.
Okay.
Right away, I wanted to write a novel, and I got an agent, and she tried. She thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. It wasn't. I needed a lot of work. I needed a lot of help with my grammar and editing and storyline and plot and all of that. But she tried. And then later on, I just continued to practice like one does with a musical instrument, just continue to practice, develop my storyline, my characters, my own style of writing. So it was after Daniel died when the first novel came out and then the subsequent novels.
So between each novel, how long did it take you to put the novels together?
Well, I had contracts And so the first novel was completed, sent it to the agent who found a publisher for it. And then they wanted another one. So I wrote that one. I guess about 8 months, I had a year to write it. And then another contract for two more novels. And they take, the whole process takes about, you know, from the beginning to the edits to, it can take a year plus. Mm. And then with another publishing house and another publishing house, I had two more novels come out. And so I really like having a year to write them and get the editing done and all of that. Get feedback from readers, beta readers, to see what they think.
Well, as we shared earlier, bereaved parents are not all alike. So are there resources out there, such as support groups that are helpful, that you find better than others?
I was involved in the Wake County, North Carolina, Compassionate Friends chapter. The Compassionate Friends is a worldwide organization. And so I drove, even though it was a little bit far for me because I live in Durham, but I would drive 30 to 35 minutes two nights a week and meet in a church basement with other bereaved parents. And some of them were seasoned veteran parents like I am now, but at the time I was brand new, and they really helped me. They helped me to know that I could adjust and adapt and get through each day. So I would recommend a support group. It's not always for everybody. Of course, I also recommend writing, and there are other things that people do. Sometimes just having one friend that will walk along with you is, of course, valuable. Mm-hmm. And that can help.
So the thing that I've noticed, though, because I've lost a loved one, not necessarily a son or daughter, but in the whole concept of losing a loved one, oftentimes you feel like the only thing you have left are just memories and photographs, and that's it.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same, or is there more?
Yeah, I was just writing something today for an article, and thinking along those exact same lines. It's kind of the recycled memories. That's all you have left. And it's sad that the loved one isn't there with you anymore to continue to make new memories.
Do you find the writing to be in honor of Daniel helpful? Or do you see your novel writing as in honor of Daniel, or just the journaling?
I see all of it. I think probably writing about him is when I feel close to the memories and close to telling a story to hopefully help others. So yes, writing about him, I'm working on various pieces, always working on something about him and the recycled memories. And as time goes on, they mean different things to me. I get more out of them as I grow in my grief.
So that's really, I think, a time-consuming task to sort of sort out the grief. And because I would imagine friends would just hope things go back to normal.
Yes. They do. They want it to go back to normal. That is so true. The phrase, you know, move on with your life or get over it, or and we do move on, but we move on with the wound in our heart and have to learn how to adapt to that. And I think many people just think you're going to cry, you'll be sad and sorrowful, you'll do a couple things in his memory, and then you'll be fine and back to the old you. But grief changes you deeply and forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
So is there also the thought that you have for our listeners as it pertains to the fact that we know that we never, you know, forget that loss. But in terms of the normalcy and getting back to normal, that really never happens.
Yeah, I think they say what normal is just a setting on the dryer or something like that, or it's what is normal. I like to think that my life before was more normal, but and definitely losing someone just totally, it's like a puzzle piece, you know, it just, and not just a puzzle piece, a whole puzzle that just falls, shatters, mm-hmm. all the pieces on the ground, and you're picking them up again to try to rework your life. And I think some of those pieces might be ones that you'll discard. You know, maybe before you always thought, oh, I always care about what others think of me, or I wanted to be the life of the party, or I was this way, or I thought this way. Even issues that pertain to our faith, too. And as a Christian, I realized that a lot of things that people had said to me weren't necessarily biblical, but I had gone along with them. So those mm-hmm. puzzle pieces I discarded, and I feel like I got a renewed faith and a deeper faith and a more realistic, authentic faith, because I've had to deal with the loss and dealing with all of the trauma that comes from that.
Then there's your teaching writing workshops. How many of those have you done?
Oh, the online ones, many. The physical ones where I've traveled to other places or locally had them, I would say about 60 or 70 of them.
Wow.
Maybe more. I really enjoy the all-day writing workshops where people come and eat breakfast and lunch, and we hang out together from like 8:30 in the morning till 5, and I have exercises for people to do, and we meet like in a hotel room, a conference room. I think the time together, sometimes they're strangers, but they all have in common the loss of a child. Okay. And so they really become friends, and they're sharing, you know, phone numbers and email addresses by the end of the day. There's a real connection there, and I love seeing that.
So you have a connection with your participants in the writing workshop, but the online course, how is that different in terms of connection?
Well, I don't get to see them because I don't, you know, do anything face to face. It's all just through sending the assignments that I've created.
Oh.
And they'll send them back to me. But I still get to hear personal stories, and I still get to hear how the writing has really helped the individual come to terms with life and memories.
Well, if we go to the website, alicewisler.com, W-I-S-L-E-R, they would have information on and access to the workshops?
Yes. Yes, there's a way to sign up for them right there. There's also a description about each part of the workshop so people can know what to expect.
Can you give us some examples or titles of your workshops? I know you've mentioned one, Writing the Heartache Workshop.
I also have Writing the Psalms, because I think the Psalms are so raw and real and honest, and we can pour out our pain that way. So I have participants write a psalm of woe and a psalm of praise or happiness, psalms of sorrow. And so that's been one of them. I also have done workshops, not just for people who have lost children, but just have had other losses. Mm-hmm. So people might come to the class who have lost a parent or a sibling or someone close to them that maybe wasn't a family member but was closer than many of their family members. Because I know that a lot of the grief is similar.
A lot it of it is. Now, the one time I know personally myself, I was working on a case and a real estate lawyer and I were negotiating, and he had just lost his spouse. And I innocently said, I understand grief because I just lost one of my parents at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's not the same. Losing a spouse is very, very different than losing a parent. Would you agree with that?
I don't know about losing a spouse, except for sadly, my first husband spiraled and wasn't able to stay married and be with our kids anymore. And so that was a loss, but he's still living and the kids still see him. I've never lost a parent either. But I know many people who have lost or been divorced before their child died, and have lost a parent or another loved one before their child died, they mm-hmm. say the child is the very hardest. Yes, I think it's often called, other authors will call it the worst loss But I think also we have to realize that some people, like I have a friend who lost an aunt, and people were like, well, why are you so sad? She was just an aunt. She wasn't a parent. She wasn't a child. But this woman said the aunt was closer to her in the relationship than her mother. And so losing this special person really affected her in a deep way. And because of that, she was able to understand a little bit more about what it's like to lose someone very, very close.
So that's, I guess we get that situation where people handle grief very, very differently. Any more workshops that we missed or did not discuss?
Not at this time. I have new ones that come up often. But right now, those are the ones that are available.
Very good. I thank you so much for participating on our program today. We are out of time for this time period. And we thank you so much, Alice Whistler, for joining us on Being Well Informed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claudia. Thanks so much.